I don't like to be reckless as far as how I call a game, but I'm not just going to sit back and say, like, we're just going to out-execute you week in, week out, every situation that comes up throughout the game. There are certain scenarios within a game that we want to be really aggressive, and there's others that we will consistently be a little bit more passive on. And that's the way I like to call games. And, you know, we have to make an offense react to us at times. Otherwise, the good offenses, if they get in a rhythm, sometimes it's hard to regain the momentum. So you have to keep offenses off rhythm, whether it's speed them up or it's slow them down. There's multiple ways you can do that.
Bills defensive coordinator Jim Leonard on the game plan. Joe Cali, Derek Kramer, Sports Talk Saturday rolls on. A note on Jim Leonard. Tim Graham, who's going to be part of WGR Middays, wrote an article yesterday about Jim Leonard, and he made it free to access for everyone.
He did.
So, yes, go out there and read that. He got quotes from all of these big coaches around the league just talking all this nice stuff about Jim Leonard, our defensive coordinator, and it's fantastic. I mean, if there's no paywall, there's nothing. Go read it. The more I hear from him and the more I read about Jim Leonard, the more I think this is a one-year stop.
I don't know about 1 year, probably two.
Maybe. But I just see he's already so well-respected by all of these coaches, the way he calls the game and his style of defense, don't want to be a counterpuncher kind of style, is very, very well reflected upon by a lot of prominent figures in the media and coaching scape. So, I mean, this is, let's enjoy it while we have it. That's basically what I'm trying to say.
You know? For sure.
Because it might not be all that long that he is in Buffalo. And that would stink for us, but that'd be great for him, considering that means he's getting another big opportunity for himself. So, but Jim Leonard there, the clip you heard, in case you missed any of the coach or player sound this week, it's all there on demand for you at WGR550.com. So you can catch up if you didn't hear any of the coaches speak or players. There's a ton of sound out there this week as they gear up for week one. Speaking of week one, the Bills Texans tomorrow. Dan Dale mentioned it in the update, but I'll just reiterate, 7 a.m. I've got you for pregame, 9 to 11. It's Jeremy, Joe, and Nate. And then 11 to 1. It's Nate and Joe, and then the game cast with Derek, Nate, and Zach, and then post-game coverage as well. We have you covered all day for Bills football, so it's a very exciting time of year. We're back. We're so back, as Derek said. Derek, since being back, though, now that we're back, there's a lot to worry about. Lots of stakes, right? Lots of stakes. Lots of pressure, if you will.
The games matter all over again.
The games matter. This isn't fun in games anymore. This is the NFL season. This isn't preseason football where we can lounge. This is your heart rate is jacked through the roof. Your blood pressure's spiking. Everyone get your baby aspirin ready, you know, so we keep casualties down, if you will. I want to go through the AFC, Derek, because I think this, as I said before we talked to Paul Hamilton, I think it's going to be a bloodbath in the AFC this year. I don't know if I'm alone in that sentiment or not, but I look at this conference as you've got the Bengals, Ravens, Texans, Jaguars. The Colts could be back if Daniel Jones stays healthy and they play like they did last year. The Chargers, the Broncos, the Chiefs, the Bills, the Patriots. That's 9 teams? Maybe 8. I wasn't counting very well on my hands here. But 8 or 9 teams there. That's the playoffs. That's the entire playoff picture and more. So one of those good teams is going to be left out. I think this year's conference, AFC, is going to be the most clumped up that I think we've seen in a long time. I don't know if you feel the same.
Well, here's the thing about it. There's going to be a couple teams that fall off. And I would imagine of those teams that you listed, like, they're going to be our usual suspects. I don't know if there's going to be a team that surprises in terms of making the playoffs.
No.
Therefore, I'm not going to be surprised when a couple of teams fall off the face of the earth. And New England probably looks like one of those to me. They're a team that really feasted off of a soft schedule and then somehow also managed to have the greatest of circumstances throughout the postseason as well.
Yes, that's
so
true.
I don't necessarily want to overreact, but I am going to look at that and go, New England might be that team that has that downfall this year. They might be that team that has the drop-off because of the fact that the circumstances were so hilariously easy for them last year.
Right, and we talked about it a little earlier, the A.J. Brown injury, too, for 4 weeks. That changes your downfield passing game in your offense, and that could lose you games if you don't have that. They don't have the depth for it.
Right.
So that's a lasting effect that could leave on their team through into the postseason. What do you make of – we'll go division by division here, Derek. What do you make of the AFC West? Because I look right now I have the Chargers winning that division, the Broncos and the Chiefs also being key players, but I have the Broncos and Chiefs missing the playoffs in our predictions from last week. Do you really believe in Mike McDaniel's Chargers or not? Because I feel like that's the biggest question, I feel like, in the AFC right now.
It's also our biggest discrepancy from the picks that we did make when it came to our division winners.
It is.
I don't
a huge discrepancy.
I don't believe in the Chargers. I don't think that they're a team that is trustworthy. I don't think that they're a team that, whether it's terrible luck or just other sorts of circumstances, I don't take them seriously. And I guess that's kind of where the Bills have arrived in terms of like games after the wild card round. Like, I don't know if I could take you seriously. You need to prove it.
Mm-hmm.
But the Chargers, it's more volatile than that. Like, there's some times where I don't trust them to even make the playoffs.
Yeah.
That I think that the Chiefs are going to make it back to the postseason. It really just has to do with the fact that, like, I don't know if we're allowed to escape our demons forever. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing about it. There's no real logic behind the Kansas City Chiefs in my prediction to make the postseason.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, bad things come for us all at the end of the day.
Some villains are just inevitable, some would say.
Some villains are just meant to be back. Mm-hmm. But God, if the Bills had to host the Chiefs in the 2-7 matchup, that would be...
It would be unbelievable, wouldn't it?
That is one prediction I hope never sees the light of day, because I'm pretty sure the nervous energy around this area would be rather unparalleled.
It'd be a moment of, where did it bring you? Right back to me, right?
Yes.
And all the changes, everything, it brought you right back to the Chiefs, and that would be a scary thing.
Right.
Be a very scary thing.
Be a very scary thing. It'd be... Not scary in the ways of like, you know, like, oh my God, the Chiefs are so good again. No, it's just
what have you done to me lately? And they've really bothered you in the playoffs consistently.
Yeah.
So.
And then all of a sudden you might be threatening to be that second team to ever lose to a 7 seed. And it's like, oh great, here we go. let's not put ourselves in history as the first AFC 2 seed to lose to a 7. Let's not do that.
Right. The four Super Bowls are enough. Let's not add that to the list.
The thing that I don't remember. You have Denver making the postseason, correct?
No.
No. Okay, so we're even disagreeing there. The mm-hmm. AFC West, the AFC West, excuse me, is volatile.
The West.
I pulled a Patrick Starr. The AFC West is incredibly volatile, though. We don't know what's going to happen with a lot of these teams because they all
aside
have,
from the Raiders, that might
yeah,
be the one you could point
the Raiders
at. Like,
are
they're
the
not going to make it.
The Raiders are the one. I don't think they're going to make it anywhere. And of course, now Brock Bowers is banged up because, of course, that like no good things are allowed to happen to that franchise. Apparently, Fernando Mendoza in the preseason looked not even close to ready to go to open the season. Kirk Cousins can't struggle mightily out the gate, because if so, then the pressure is going to be on to just play Mendoza anyway, and he's not ready. But that's the one thing we know: the Raiders aren't going to make it. Okay, we're not going to make it. No, we're not going to make it, but...
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. That's good. It was good, very good.
But each of us has, like, different predictions for the West. I have two teams making the playoffs that you don't. Mm-hmm. And you have a team making the playoffs, and I don't. There's so much mystery in terms of the West, where they are. Is Denver another one of those schedule immersions? I think less so than New England. I do think that Denver has a lot more legitimacy. I think their defense is nastier.
Yeah.
And I do think that I could trust the floor of Bo Nix versus the floor of Drake May, as we saw on Wednesday night. Bo Nix doesn't make that many mistakes. Bo Nix isn't also going to straight up take over as many games, but he's not going to mess up as often.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I like Bo Nix a lot more than a lot of people do. I think he's better than just the system quarterback that some label him to be, but I don't disagree with what you just said. AFC South, your favorite division with the Titans in it. Texans, Jags, Colts, I feel like all three have a play here. Do you not? The Colts, I'm confused about the Colts.
Indianapolis.
I don't know how to feel. Because last season they were doing so well, they were at the top of the conference, and then all of a sudden, bang, Daniel Jones breaks his fibia or tibia, which whatever one it was.
Plays through
it. And then
it.
Also ruptures the Achilles on the other foot because he's favoring that leg. So I don't know what to think of him coming back from those injuries. I know the broken bone's a little easier to come back from, but the Achilles tear takes a while sometimes. So I don't know if I didn't have the Colts making the playoffs when we did this, but I had the Texans and Jags doing it. But the Colts, I think, sneakily could still if Daniel Jones kind of gets back to where he was because they still have Jonathan Taylor. They have Josh Downs still. Alec Pierce is going to play. Like, they're not terrible, right?
They're not terrible. The thing is the defense needs to bring back a symbol of consistency because it is funny the minute they acquire Sauce Gardner, the defense does end up going down in terms of quality. But Gardner gets hurt, so he's not even really able to make any sort of impact there either. Mm-hmm. But in those last few games that Phillip Rivers is starting at quarterback, it's not Rivers that lets them down. It's their defense. Their defense is what helps the Colts refuse to win a game to end the season. And Indianapolis, I think, is going to be a team that we need to pay attention to just with a side eye. Not something that you need to really focus on them, but definitely pay attention to what they do, how they respond. Is Jones healthy? And is healthy good enough to make things happen?
Right. Right.
But the defense needs to be there.
The playoffs, yeah. Right?
Yeah, shut up. So I have the Jaguars and Texans making it, but I also don't think that they're going to be like Jacksonville's the one that I can take more seriously than Houston. I think that Jacksonville has a little bit more high end, and especially on the offense. I think I like what Liam Cohen is bringing to the table, but I think that the Texans are going to be reliably like this five seed. I don't want to say perennially a five seed, but like.
Mm-hmm.
They're definitely a team that should be taken seriously, though, when it comes to being a higher-end wild card, a team that can be dangerous, a team that can, you know, threaten. But I also just don't think they have enough offensively to really push the envelope and really make a deeper run into the postseason. Jacksonville, I could see it. I could see it with Jacksonville because if Trevor Lawrence is actually a player that figured it out in year five, which, I mean, better late than never. So, if the Jaguars have it figured out with Lawrence, if they do manage to get things together, I like their chances more than I do in terms of the Texans.
I agree. I'm with you on that. I think Liam Cohen is the big thing for me with Jacksonville. They finally have the coach that figured everything out, and I respect Liam Cohen a lot. Grant Udinski is still there, and I was proponent for him to be the Bills head coach. He's a great offensive coordinator, so I see it. He's from the Kevin O'Connell tree, which the Kevin O'Connell tree is an extension of the Shanahan tree, if I'm not mistaken. So it's pretty interesting to see what could happen there. The Texans are the Texans. We've talked enough about them in this matchup about the Bills. The AFC North, Derek, the Steelers, could they win again this season? Because I can't believe that happened last year. I can, but I can't. I think the Bengals, I had the Bengals winning it and the Ravens being in second, but both of those teams making the playoffs. The Steelers, led by Mike McCarthy, would not, in fact, make it. And then the Browns are the Browns. So I think that was pretty self-explanatory.
I'm not going to lie, I already forgot my predictions on this division.
I think it's just a forgettable division, is it not? I know the Ravens are really not anything to scoff at. The Bengals are fine. I think it's just will they, won't they with this division.
Good thing.
I think I look at it, I'm just kind of like, they need to...
A sheet of paper.
Actually do it. The Bengals need to just stop. We call the Chargers and Justin Herbert, if man. We need the Bengals defense to actually show up. And they added some pieces, so potentially they will, but I don't know.
That's
are you looking for your picks?
I only picked one team to make it out of this division into the postseason. It's Baltimore. And I think it has more to do with the extreme highs and lows that each of these teams in the AFC North can have. I think the Ravens are the safer ones of the group.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that Aaron Rodgers is really kind of testing it in terms of, like, you're pushing it for the old man race here, Aaron Rodgers, and if you pick a fight with Father Time, you're not going to win eventually.
No,
there's
right.
going to be a moment where you finally just cooked and it's over. This might just be it, where, like, I don't know if he's going to end up being unplayable. I think he'll be fine, but he's not Aaron Rodgers anymore. And the defense...
It's Mike McCarthy's not going to bring back the old Aaron Rodgers either. We can't act like other, you know, Pittsburgh fans I've seen acting like that's going to happen.
Well,
putting prime highlights of Green Bay up there.
For me, it's Pittsburgh's defense. They're one of the highest paid and most underwhelming, it seems, at times, in terms of their actual production. It's T.J. Watt and a bunch of dudes sometimes.
Right.
And for the roster that they've collected and the money that they've invested in the defensive side of the football, it shouldn't be like that.
Right.
Their run game is always a mystery to me. Like, they added Rico Dowdle, but...
Dowdle's even a question mark, too. It might have just been that Carolina team in the schedule they had that he was able to excel.
Well, last year in Dallas, he was also pretty dang good.
Right, right. But he was behind Chuba Hubbard and then got the green light when Hubbard was dealing with an injury. So, but Jaylen Warren on the Steelers is still a prominent back in their system.
And Jaylen
Warren's
not that good, though. Like, he's there. He's a power back, and you can only get so far with a power back. Mm-hmm. In the National Football League.
Well, I mean, we learned that. Look at James Cook. He's not a power back. And look at how well he does. Aside from LeSean McCoy, we only really had power backs for a little bit there, you know?
The difference between Derrick Henry and other power backs is that Henry has speed, too, because he's
an alien.
Quite honestly, chemically manufactured.
Yeah. It is astonishing to watch him run. He shouldn't be able to do what he does.
He shouldn't be able to do what he does with the frame that he has, but he does.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Baltimore is the safest bet to be a turnaround team. Cincinnati, I don't know how good their defense is. I don't know how good their offensive line is, more importantly. It's the combination of both of those things that have doomed the Bengals for years in the Joe Burrow era. So I don't think there's going to be much of a playoff presence in the AFC North. I think it is just going to be, you know, you get the Ravens and then you get nobody else. You have the Bengals going through there, but even then, everything has to go right for them. And that includes the health of Joe Burrow.
Right.
Yeah.
Health of Joe Burrow is the biggest question mark for the Cincinnati Bengals. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to commandeer the clock a little bit here. We're going to pick the first week of the NFL season on the other
side.
We're going to take a timeout so we leave ourselves enough time if we have some discussion in between each pick. We're going to make our selections for week one. Joe Cali, Derek Kramer here with you. Sports Talk Saturday rolls on WGR.
First real game, right? You had the preseason where we got to work on some things, really evaluate the talent, scheme, pretty straightforward, a little bit watered down from what we want to do. And now it's time to go. I love competitive football, right? You get to the regular season and it's time to go throw everything out there and ride it till the wheels fall off.
Me too. Jim Leonard on the start of week one. Joe Cali, Derek Kramer, Sports Talk Saturday rolls on WGR. Final half hour, less than 24 hours away from kickoff. Bills Texans season nearly underway. The NFL season is underway officially after two games earlier this week. Purdue is I'm hearing Derek Kramer yelling during breaks about Purdue. Not a great look.
17-10 at the half. They got a field goal.
And they were
to
up 7-0.
The first drive was cool, then they gave up 17 straight points and they just got a field goal to end the half. They had two real good shots at the end zone. Fade was just long. It was a really nice catch, but he was out of bounds. And then the second one was a force out play because the guy made the catch, but the defender wisely tackles him before he can get his foot tapped in bounds.
Just tough scenes all around.
First drive was cool, but
at least they gave you that.
At least they gave me that. But, real quick, if we want to go over some other games here, Oklahoma, Michigan is going on right now, too. And, you would never guess what's going on there.
Michigan is losing.
Michigan's winning 7-0, and they're in the red zone again in the second quarter.
Oh, wow.
So Oklahoma's kind of no-showing right now.
Interesting.
Number,
we'll see if it
number
comes
11.
Down to an invisible clock at the end of the game.
Number 11, Oklahoma, is losing right now to currently unranked Michigan after their debacle against Western Michigan last week. Penn State up only 10-3 on Temple at the half. Texas A&M 14-10 over Arizona State. Indiana's blowing out Howard 41-0. And Georgia 21-0 on Western Kentucky. Those are your college football scores within the top 25.
Well, thank you for that. That little update there. Michigan being unranked is a tough scene, but, you know.
They'll probably be back if they win against Oklahoma.
If they win against an actual team and not come down to the buzzer against Western Michigan, a MAC team. No offense to the MAC, of course, but comparatively to the division they're in.
It's how they quote-unquote won that game that was
exactly
punishable within
the top
25 voters, and I'm glad that they voted accordingly.
Okay. So without further ado, Dan, hit that music. We're going to get into some picks. We can finally do this, Derek. I'll tell you what, I'm picking the Seahawks and 49ers. I think I'm feeling pretty confident in those two in week one results. We'll start with them. No, just kidding. I'm going to go off of the Google schedule here. In the 1 o'clock window to start things off, Saints-Lions. Tyler Shuck and the New Orleans Saints up against the Detroit Lions. Jared Goff. Jahmyr Gibbs, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Tyler Shuck, Alvin Kamara, maybe.
Is Kamara really even a part of their offense?
Who's their other one? Achan 2.0, Travis Achan.
I try to merge the two of them so that I don't get confused.
He wants to say Achan. We got to say Achan. We can't just make a new name for him.
So if I start it, it's Achan. There we go.
It's Achan.
Achan.
Okay, all right. Agree to disagree.
Etchen. I'm doing it on purpose to not confuse myself. How's that?
Also, sure. Chris Olave as well on the Saints.
Yeah.
I don't know what to really think about this game. I feel like the Lions should win this game, so I would pick the Lions. I don't know how you feel about the Saints, though. Are you bullish on Tyler Shuck, like others happen to be?
I am and I'm not. Like, not for this game. I'm thinking that New Orleans is going to be interesting for the division this year, but I don't think necessarily that they're going to win against Detroit here. I think that the Lions are going to be back. I have the Lions winning the North, as a matter of fact. So why not start here?
Okay. All right. Lions over the Saints in week one. Up next, Buccaneers-Bengals, 1 o'clock. Baker Mayfield takes on Joe Burrow and the Bengals. Not really. They never directly play. That's a pet peeve of mine, I got to say. When the broadcasts start saying Allen versus Mahomes, realistically here, it's Allen versus the defense and Mahomes versus the defense. And then, you know, they kind of just play their same positions. It's an indirect versus. No, I guess not. I guess you're right. Anyway, Buccaneers or Bengals here? I got to lean towards the Bengals always stink in week one, so I'm going to go Buccaneers.
I'm going Tampa here. I think that they're a team that entered their training camp with a lot of tumult and questions. They have now exited with some serenity and a little bit more clarity to them. They got their contracts done. They got the Vea situation taken care of. Mayfield's locked up now for the next 3 years. Give me Tampa Bay to win in week one.
Okay. Up next on the docket, Ravens-Colts, an interesting one in week one. Could be a run-heavy game with Derrick Henry, Jonathan Taylor. Could Daniel Jones be back? Narrative-wise, it'd be pretty cool if the Colts were able to usurp the Ravens in week one, but I don't see it happening. I see the Ravens here. I think they're going to be dominant. I'd like Jesse Minter as the head coach. Defensive mind, they're going to have some solid defensive play, I would assume. But I really like Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry, so I have no doubt in my mind they could beat the Colts defense. And Alec Pierce, he was getting injections in his ankle 2 weeks ago. How healthy really is the question for me.
Yeah, the Colts are already dealing with enough injuries and issues here. But, you know, I almost want to make the why not pick just because of Jonathan Taylor, but I'm going to go with the Ravens.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know if Taylor will be enough. That's my thing. If Daniel Jones is good, then maybe he will be.
The start of last year, he was.
Yeah, so we could be usurped on that one. We could be flabbergasted by the end of that game. All right, up next, Browns Jags. The matchup everyone's waiting for on the day. Actually, no, that's the next one we're going to get to. This one is actually, you know, maybe it's close to top billing, but not all that much. Browns Jags. Jaguars win this game. Yeah, Deshaun Watson's going to flame out without question. I think he's a joke, and he's going to fail. So does everyone else. You heard that clip of Ryan Fitzpatrick a couple weeks ago where he's talking about, yeah, Deshaun Watson's going to fail. And then you put Shedeur Sanders in.
Yeah, so. I don't really feel like I need to deliberate much here on the Jacksonville Jaguars beating Cleveland. Cleveland does still have its talented defense. Jacksonville is a weird team sometimes, but if Jacksonville's going to take their next step in their evolution, it needs to be starting here. So, like, handle a team like the Cleveland Browns.
Yep, agreed. Up next, this is the matchup of the century, the one everyone's been waiting for, Jets-Titans. The Robert Saleh revenge game.
Do you really think that's going to happen?
Do I think the Titans will beat the Jets? No. I think the Jets beat the Titans. I think Geno Smith is serviceable enough. I think it's fine. You know, I think this is a game I will not be tuning into or watching whatsoever. I'm not there on the Titans yet. I think we have to see a little bit out of Cam Ward and what Dable is able to do on that offense. Tony Pollard's a good piece, but he's just boring. So give me the Jets, I think.
I took the Jets on the Extra Point Show when Sal, Zach, and I made some picks. I'm going to keep with that. I'm going to stay there. The Jets are a better roster, I think, than the Tennessee Titans. And I think that Cam Ward is going to end up being a bust. I don't think he's got a lot. I don't think he's got enough high-end talent to overcome the flaws of the Titans roster and how it's currently constructed.
Okay. All right. Bills Texans up next. The last couple games in the 1 o'clock window here. Bills.
We're really going to not skip over it and make it the last pick. Okay.
I mean, it's a 1 o'clock game. I got to go in chronological order here.
You're making yourself a slave to the clock. Don't do that.
I am.
All right, well, I guess I'm going to take the Bills instead of deliberating on this with our final segment. We could have done this, you know, but
maybe I will. Maybe we will. Maybe I'll pick the Texans. Who knows? Maybe this is just a smokescreen. Up next, Falcons-Steelers. What a nightmare of a matchup here. I don't really know what to think. This is gross. I don't know how anyone will ever tune into this game or watch this game. Cooper Rush is starting for the Falcons because Tua once again tweaked his back or whatever happened.
Pack it up. The career is over.
It's over. It needs to end. I can't do this anymore. I can't feel bad about beating the crap out of a team Tua's playing for because he gets speared and hurt in every game.
Yeah.
Or he's emptying the dishwasher and pulls his back. That's what this could have been. I have no idea.
You need to be able to have a life after football, and Tua is doing his damnedest to make sure that life is as difficult as possible. No, pack it up.
Yeah, seriously.
Pack it
up. It's over.
Give me the Steelers. For his sake. You know what? I'm going to take Atlanta because Cooper Rush is not a bad backup quarterback.
Okay.
And the Steelers do this every now and then. Atlanta has top-end talent. Bijan Robinson, Drake London, Kyle Pitts are all still a part of that offense. It's weird to say I would trust Cooper Rush more than Tua Tagovailoa. But that's what I'm exactly doing here. So, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and pick the Falcons now with this new turn of events.
All right. Well, that maybe adds a little more interest to that matchup, even though there's not a lot.
I'm a Cooper Rush stan.
Yeah, okay. All right, I respect it. Bears-Panthers up next. Final game in the 1 o'clock window. We got a lot in the 1 o'clock window tomorrow. Bears-Panthers, it's the Bears. Duh, Bears. All the way, I got to say. With Ben Johnson, he talks about wanting to break the scoring record in the league for every game. Yeah, it's Ben Johnson and the Bears.
For me, the injuries that Carolina has already amassed is going to be a little too much to overcome for at least a week one opponent like the Bears. I do like Carolina probably more than most. I don't think they're going to win the division again this year, but I do think that Carolina is going to not totally crater. I think they're going to still be around. They might end up 8-9 again, but that might just not be enough this year. I'm going to take the Bears, but I do want Carolina to succeed.
All right. Take the Bears. We wish you the best, Carolina. 4 o'clock window, 4:25 starts. Packers-Vikings off the bat. I mean, this is an interesting game. Tucker Kraft just signed a huge extension. 4 years, $92 million with the Packers. So That's good.
Give me Green Bay.
I mean, he's a great tight end. Green Bay, yeah. Did I say something else?
No, but like I'm just saying, give me Green Bay. This is...
Oh, yeah. Oh.
There's yes. going to be an interesting combative narrative going on with Kevin O'Connell because the problem is that Kyler Murray's not good.
I don't know about that. I think we're pre-Call of Duty right now. The beta just launched. I think we were fine. I think we got a good month of Kyler Murray before he falls off the face of the earth.
Memes aside, I don't think that Kyler Murray is that good. And we're going to start looking into Kevin O'Connell and being like, oh, are you actually the quarterback guru, or is it just that Sam Darnold became good?
That's very valid. I agree. I just think Kyler Murray... I mean, what's the situation been for him in Arizona? Not great. He's been injured.
He makes bad decisions with the football. That's the thing.
He does. But a guy like Kevin O'Connell, Sam Darnold was seeing ghosts at one point, Derek. He was seeing ghosts. He made horrific decisions with the football. I leave a little space for the fact that O'Connell could steer Kyler Murray in the right direction. I do leave a little space for that. But I'll take the Packers in this game. I think Jordan Love... The receiving core that's pretty consistent. Christian Watson now, the wide receiver one, he's solid. The running back situation is questionable for them with Josh Jacobs being on the commissioner's exempt list. So we'll see what happens there. But I'll take the Packers over the Vikings in this week one matchup. Up next, another one that'll feed families, Dolphins Raiders. Raiders? I actually have no idea what to do in this game. I saw it coming from a mile away as I'm reading these other ones, and I'm like trying to think, what could I do here? Nothing. I don't think there's anything you could look at where this is something of a positive. Raiders, the Dolphins stink. They have nobody, no depth, anything. They have Malik Willis leading a directionless franchise right now because they're tanking. Then you have the Raiders. The Raiders
are
probably going to win this game. They're just not great. I think Max Crosby will get to Malik Willis. I think Kirk Cousins might make some throws more than the Dolphins would. So give me a low-scoring win, but give me the Raiders, I think.
Joe, do you know the over-under on that game?
No, I don't. Do you?
It's not the lowest of the matchups this week. It's
Who is
the third
lowest. Okay.
So it's 40.5.
Okay.
The other ones are... Jacksonville, Cleveland, because Browns, at 39.5. And then, of course, Jets, Titans, that's 38.5.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
All right. But anyway, I'm going to take the Raiders, but wouldn't it be funny if Miami won this game?
It'd be really funny, and I'd kind of be here for it, because I think that, you know, give them a win while they can, because they're not going to get many, you know? Give them something. All right, Cardinals, Chargers up next.
Oh, dear God.
Continuing the 4 o'clock slate. Chargers win this game over Arizona, without question.
There's enough talent discrepancy here.
Yeah, there's not even room for deliberation, if you ask me. Commanders-Eagles, next game on the slot. This will be a good one right off the bat. Division rivalry. I got to say, I believe in the Commanders with the addition of Stephon Diggs. Terry McLaurin is healthy. Jaden Daniels is healthy. And I think they're going to be able to beat the Eagles in week one. I'm not big on the Eagles. I think the Eagles... Here it is. This is what I remember talking about. We should draft Sean McDermott's next team because
That's
I think
right.
the Eagles are that next team.
We got it.
I
back.
Genuinely do. I think they might be one of my top pick potentially. You know, so I think that I'm not big on the Eagles at all this year. I think the Commanders will win this game. I let the Eagles surprise me, but I'm not big on Jalen Hurts or the coach.
The thing is that the Eagles' offense is going to be inherently better now that Kevin Petullo is not the offensive coordinator. I have to believe in that. Like, yeah, there's reports that things are not, like, hunky-dory out there in Philadelphia, but I do have to believe the fact that Kevin Petullo was a hack. and he was dreadful. He really was. And when you get rid of a bad coordinator or a coach sometimes, like, it really can free the elements of an offense. Do I think Washington has the capability of being back? Yes. But Washington needs to prove it to me. Philadelphia does. You know, Philadelphia proves it to me when they recover from, you know, bad mistakes, personnel-wise. I trust Philadelphia more than I trust Washington here. And I need the Commanders to prove to me that Jaden Daniels is good to go. Because mm-hmm. he pulls the sophomore slump. It's not a good season for him last year. It's injuries and ineffectiveness. Is the offense around him better than it was? Yes. But I need to see it. And much like Buffalo Houston, this is a great first test.
It is good.
This is probably the game that everyone should be watching in the afternoon slate other than Green Bay, Minnesota. I feel like this is a really, really, really good way to try to start your season for Washington. It's a great litmus test, and it's one where you can try to see, hey, did you guys figure it out, and did you guys manage to get it to turn around? And if not, well, then we're dealing with some problems. However, I like the idea of Washington being competitive in this game. I just trust the Eagles more, unfortunately, than I do the Commanders as it currently stands. Week one gotcha. Can change these things. I love
week
it.
Week one's also a liar, as we mentioned. So yes, anything we say now could totally be trumped in week one.
It's also a great test, though. I think this is going to be something that if Washington wins, you can show me something in being impressive. Can you mm-hmm. impress me? Can you show me that I can trust you again? Well, this is a great test.
That is. All right. Here we go. You ready? Final couple games.
Final couple games.
The primetime window.
Oh, boy.
The Cowboys take on the Giants at 8:20 on Sunday. Good matchup here, if you're asking me, the Harbaugh Giants. Will Jackson Dart last three snaps?
Oh, that's mean. That doesn't mean it's not true. It's mean.
I just don't know. Will Scadaboo last a game? No. Or is he going to run through someone without a helmet and charge head first?
Probably.
Because I'm not really sure what's going on. There's videos. He was on the Pat McAfee show, and his handshakes with people is just headbutting them. I'm like, what are we doing
here? The
guy's
a psycho.
Yeah, so I don't know what to make of the Giants. Harbaugh as a coach is a little interesting to me. I think he's just too old school. I don't know if he's there with the modern times of the NFL. Kind of saw that in Baltimore. But I love the Cowboys this season. I think they have a chance to make a Super Bowl push, so give me the Cowboys.
There's a big talent discrepancy, I think, in terms of Dallas and the Giants. Dallas has things in place. The Giants have question marks. Is Jackson Dart healthy? Is he even good when he's healthy? Who knows? I do know that Dak Prescott's good. I do know that CeeDee Lamb is very good. I do know that George Pickens is very good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about how the passing game is going to work for the Giants. Is Malik Nabers healthy? I don't know. Is Cam Scadaboo healthy? Probably not. Is Jackson Dart going to be healthy? I don't know. There's too much mystery there, and I think Dallas has quietly had themselves an effective offseason. So, yeah, easily give me the Dallas Cowboys here. But it's easy.
Monday Night Football. The Broncos and Chiefs divisional matchup. This should be a good one right off the bat, truthfully. I don't really know where to go in this game. I feel like this is a pretty evenly matched contest. How about you?
I don't know if I need to take a Tums or if the bad feeling is back. Kansas City has to make the playoffs somehow, right? According to my prediction, they have to make the playoffs in some sort of way. And I think that putting an overreactive doom cloud on the NFL watching fan base is a great way to do that. I'm taking the
Chiefs. On the national stage in week one, yeah.
I'm taking the Chiefs only because of bad vibes. Oh, too many good things are going on right now. I like the Bills in this Texans matchup, so like the Patriots lose. I need to be crashed down to earth somehow. So the Chiefs are going to be my reason why.
Right, it can't all be sunshine and rainbows.
It can't all be going this well, right?
No. No, not at all. I would agree with you. I got to pick the Broncos, I think. I think they're gonna beat the Chiefs in week one because the Chiefs wide receiver core is a nightmare. Xavier Worthy's just there. Rashee Rice almost said the nickname I have for him, probably shouldn't say. He rehabbed his knee injury in jail a few months ago, so that can't be great. Mahomes scrambling around for his life in the preseason when he played off of an ACL injury. There's not a good story there for me right now. I have to see a week. I'm going to go Broncos this week, though. I'm going to pick the Broncos, but that's our picks for week one. We'll deliberate more on the Bills, Texans, and give you our final thoughts on the other side. I'm Joe Calley. He's Derek Kramer. This is Sports Talk Saturday on WGR. Welcome back. Sports Talk Saturday. We're wrapping things up here on WGR. Joe Calley, Derek Kramer, we're sending you off today. Less than 24 hours away from kickoff of Bills football. We got 7 a.m. pregame starting with me. 9 to 11, it's Jeremy, Joe, and Nate. 11 to 1, Nate and Joe. And then the game cast, Derek, Nate, and Zach Jones. And then postgame coverage all as well. Your usual lineup, just no game. You have the game cast now. So very exciting stuff here. One day out from the regular season. Derek, how are you feeling? And I know we were going to deliberate a little more on this Bills-Texans pick. I feel pretty good right now. The vibes are all-time high in my brain currently. This could change in a matter of minutes, but I'm taking the Bills by 20 points. Just kidding. Bills by like a touchdown and a field goal. We're getting Bills 10, plus 10. I'll say the Bills win.
By the way, just so that everyone knows, 4 o'clock, there will be, if there's any practice squad elevations for this game, 4 p.m. is going to be when that happens. I figured I'd give that in there before we do our quick little prediction. Give me the Bills, and I'm going to say the magic number, 24 to 17.
Okay, 24 to 17. Score 24 points, and you beat Houston the last two seasons, so why not? Why wouldn't that be the case this time around? I'll talk to you guys all tomorrow morning. Thanks for listening, calling today. Much appreciated, tweeting, all of that. Derek will hear from you tomorrow as well. This has been Sports Talk Saturday. Joe Calley, Derek Kramer. You're listening to WGR.